This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato. I hit it hard,
man. A good Saturday morning, everybody. No Charlie this week. He's at Pebble playing. You know what? That's a better place to be than here in Houston in studio. I am here along with our good friend, Will Doctor, a senior at Texas Wesleyan, getting a little shot on the radio this morning. He played golf there at Texas Wesleyan. He is a golf aficionado. He interns with us here. And I said, Will, come in. Charlie's not going to be there. Let's get some young talent in here. Will, what'd you say?
Well, thanks for having me. Thanks for having me in, John. And it's been a very refreshing last couple weeks watching golf. You know, the AP last week and the first couple rounds at the Players. It's what's so special about the last 2 weeks is there's been legitimate crowd noises. There's legitimate fans on the golf course.
Yeah. No. It's fun to have. And it'll just get better and better as we get more and more vaccinations and people can come out and really enjoy it. And Billy Harmon is going to be joining us here in the next segment. We've got the captain producing for us. How about they brought in the A-team today? What's up, Captain Ron?
Just doing the thing I do.
That's it. Just being a great team player, being the team captain. He's the Derek Jeter of all the producers here on here in the Sports Map Radio Network. So we're going to get it started, and we're going to have some fun, and we're going to talk a lot of golf. And we got some impressions from what you saw the first 2 days at the Players.
Well, I think the first thing was 47-year-old Lee Westwood, kind of coming out of nowhere, but he has been trending. I thought the way how free he's been playing is spectacular. And then Matthew Fitzpatrick, another player who's been
playing great,
especially mm-hmm. overseas. Chris Kirk, a great comeback story. And of course Sergio Garcia. Let's see if the putter can hold up through the weekend.
Yeah, what a great first round, and then it kind of cooled off. We'll see whether or not Sergio can keep it up. I'm sure he had a few sleepless hours last night with that 72 he put up in the second round. But we're just getting it started. Billy Harmon is going to join us on the other side from his palatial estate in Palm Springs. We got the Charlie Epps Golf Hour brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Just getting it started. Don't you go anywhere. Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Let's bring in Bill Harmon from his palatial estate in Palm Springs, joining us this week, along with Will Doctor here. Billy, say hello to Will.
Good morning, Will and John. How are we doing this morning?
We're doing great. Will played. He played at IMG and then went on to Texas Wesleyan, and is a senior now. He's going to finish up, and he's working over here, Bill. But every time he's interning for us on the morning show here, we're always talking some golf. So he's a fountain of young information. He actually played a couple of times against Matthew Wolf when he was at IMG. So. He got a little good competition there. So he's bringing the young insight for a change to the show, Bill. The old guys all the time bringing their stuff to the table. We got some young knowledge coming this week.
I like it. You know, all he has to do is be able to pronounce Lee Westwood's name properly, and he'll be ahead of Charlie.
He'll be beating Charlie by a wide margin already. Lee Westwood.
He'll be one up on Charlie if he can pronounce Dustin Johnson's name properly.
So what about Lee Westwood, Bill? What the heck's going on the last couple of weeks?
Well, I think that nowadays, John, the older players aren't really older players. You know, they put their hat on and they, it's interesting he's leading this tournament. When Jay Haas was 49 years old, I think a couple years older maybe than Lee, he led this tournament going to the last round. And Jay made the President's Cup team at age 49 and the Ryder Cup team at age 50. So this is not unprecedented, that's for sure. But I think the older players, you know, they're in better shape than they used to be. If they want to play the Champions Tour, there's a carrot out there dangling. Lee Westwood is a, you know, obviously a quality world-class player. He's probably won well over 30 tournaments or so worldwide. He's been number one in the world. He's played in a million Ryder Cups. So we're talking about a thoroughbred here. We're not talking about a flash in the pan. But he has made a nice comeback here. He attributes a lot of it to his fiance, who is also a sports psychologist. And he gave DeChambeau all he wanted last week. He could have easily won that tournament. You know, he three-putted 14 and then didn't birdie 16 with a 9-iron or wedge in his hand on a par 5. So he was very, very close to beating DeChambeau last week. So here he is back at the Players Club. And one of the things I love about this golf course is, you know, length is always an advantage, but it's less of an advantage at this course than just about any other major championship venue. And I do consider this the fifth major in my mind. So I'm not surprised that Lee Westwood is doing well. It doesn't surprise me one bit.
Mm-hmm. The other thing with Westwood that I love is in his interview after round two, he just said, "I'm just focusing on having a good time and going through the process." He's not worried about a score or hitting a bad shot. And I think that those are two of the only controllables in golf for the listeners at home, having a good attitude and going through the same routine on the golf course that you do on the range or when you're working on short game or your mental game.
Well, I wonder if his fiance has something to do with that. You know, if she's his psychologist as well, that he's bringing that kind of attitude and that kind of positivity. And you're right. How about you know, you talk about the length of Bryson DeChambeau, and yet last week it was his putting. Those two putts that he made, the one birdie that was at least a 50-footer, whatever that was on the front, and then the par putt that he made. When you got that kind of length and you're putting like that, Bill, I mean that was just unbelievable the way he stepped up. I didn't know he had that in his game.
Similar story at Wingfoot. You know, everyone talked about his distance, which obviously is becoming must-see watch TV, which is great for the game. But at Wingfoot, he was first in strokes gained putting and first in strokes gained around the greens. But everybody talked about his driving distance. But his short game or his putting is a lot better than you know, most people think, because let's face it, his pursuit of distance has been the story since the U.S. Open at Wingfoot. And it's been a cool story, by the way. And very, very few scenes have we seen in golf like we saw last Saturday and Sunday on the sixth hole at Bay Hill, him taking on that forced carry of about 340 yards and having the guts and the gumption to do it, for one. And then pulling it off and raising his arms up like he did on Saturday. And then Westwood taking a much different line on Sunday, but then raising his arms up. I thought it was just great theater, great TV. And I think DeChambeau now is almost must-see TV if he's in the hunt. But this course here, there's really, John, maybe a half dozen holes that he can air it out, to be honest with you. There's a lot of the holes here, you just run out of room. If you drove at 350, you'd drive it into the junk. So I think that, you know, and here he is back at a course where you have to be a placement player. So it says a lot for his game that he has come right back and put himself in contention here. He's kind of in an all-star pairing with DJ and Morikawa, and he beat them pretty handily. So I'm looking for a great weekend. And as you guys know, one of the things that makes the Masters so great is we know the course. And we've seen guys make doubles and triples and eagles. And the Players Club has that same, starting to have that same history. You know, somebody will stand on a tee and your mind will eventually go to, oh, I remember when this guy made eight on this hole a few years ago. And a guy playing with him made eagles. So I think the course itself lends itself to great theater. Obviously the best field in golf. They're playing for the most money. So everything about this weekend, to me, as a fan, has a major, major feel to it.
Absolutely. And stay with DeChambeau because he's been the story, and he's just, yeah, you're right, Bill. I mean, that was so much fun watching him raise his arms on Saturday last week at Bay Hill. But how about that was wild. He has hit on Thursday. He had hit the green on 17, 9 for 9, and he had never hit the green in regulation. He was 0 for 8 hitting the green in regulation on 18. But when he hits a 4 iron and he finally hit the green and made par there, which he doesn't do on 18. Now, I got a question for you guys. Unfair, or what did you think of when they took 9 out of play for DeChambeau? Will, they took 9 out of play this week for DeChambeau to hit over to 9 in that area and then go to 18. What did you think about that ruling?
Yeah, well, I'm sure he absolutely, and he said he was planning on going left there where the grandstand is, a little bit of a flatter landing area to go to, easier approach. I hate internal OB. I don't think it should ever be used on tour. And Bryson should be able to hit it wherever gives him the best spot to improve that approach on 9.
What do you think, Bill?
Yeah, it doesn't bother me much. I think they could have logistical problems over there. You might have Gallery coming down 9. I understand. It's not unprecedented. I remember years ago in the U.S. Open at Inverness, Lon Hinkle went down another tee, and they put a tree in the night, in the middle of the night to keep him from doing it. I understand Will's point of inbounds, out of bounds, in course out of bounds, but that one doesn't really, really bother me. I would have been very surprised if he did it, to be honest with you. You'd have to, I've been there, I've been on that tee. You'd almost have to hit more of a precise shot there for it to be an advantage than you would to just play it conventionally. He could hit, like, you know, the 4-iron and the short iron anyway. So I can see both sides of that argument, but it doesn't really affect me either way, to be honest with you.
Yeah, if it's a danger, then I could certainly see inbound. If, you know, there are people over there, and if it is.
Yeah, he'd be hitting right in the middle of a gallery and stuff. And maybe there were just some logistical things that maybe we don't know about. But
yeah,
having said that, the fact that he was thinking of it, I can honestly tell you, I've been on that tee 50 times. I've never even thought of doing that. So the very fact that he thinks of this stuff and he's pushing the envelope, I think is great for the game. And, he's got mathematical ways of figuring out how to get advantages, and he's using them, and he's winning doing it. And if he can win on this course, this would be a tremendous feather in his cap, because you got to be a pretty complete player to win here. And so it's not a bomber's paradise. You look at the history of the game, is the tournament, people that have won, they've been short hitters, the Kuchers, the Fred Funks, and then there have been the longer hitters, you know, the Tigers and stuff. So the course itself lends itself to good play more than it does to vomit it out there.
Well, and he proved it, like you said before, at Wingfoot as well. So he's doing it both ways, bombing it and playing unbelievably precise. The way he swings, that he can hit it straight as often as he does, is just unbelievable. All right, we're just getting started. That's one segment in. We've got Billy Harmon and Will Docter with us here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, 26 past the hour here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Before we get to the top of the leaderboard, boy, I'll tell you what, it was a little surprising, guys, the players that did not perform this week. One of them's Rory. He's actually the defending champ now. He won a couple of years ago. But he played about as badly as you possibly can. Xander Schauffele. You've got Webb Simpson, who plays well here. Hideki Matsuyama, who plays well here. They just couldn't perform this week. It was the conditions some of the shots that we've seen, some of the greens, like S17, for example, it looked like it was a springboard. It was a that there was some kind of rubber mat underneath the green the way the balls were bouncing off 17.
Yeah, on 17 with the pin placement on Friday, back middle, if players landed it past that the upslope about 10 yards short of the green, it was bouncing like a trampoline or a cart path. Mm. Besides Bryson, of course, who came in there with the wedge, it looked like players were firing five irons in there. And back to Rory struggling, I think Rory's fighting a terrible double cross. And we saw it all week, finished 10 over. And he actually noted he watched Bryson at Wingfoot bombing it last summer, and come October he started doing more speed work, which made his swing longer, and obviously is screwing him up. He is more steeper coming down than ever. So, but 17's playing extremely tough.
Yeah, is that the, and see that's what Bryson DeChambeau is going to do to maybe not only Rory, but they feel like they've got to get more length, Bill. When they don't, Rory's been a great player for a long time, and when you start changing your game to compete with one guy or to get more length like that, look at sometimes the results.
Well, I think in Rory's case it was ill-advised because Bryson doesn't have a big advantage over the other long hitters. He really doesn't. You know, he's going to hit it 10, 12 yards, 15 yards further, maybe, which is the difference between a wedge and a 9-iron. He has a more of an advantage over, let's say, the Lee Westwoods, but if you look at all the other really good players, Justin Thomas and BJ and Rory, I don't think Bryson has any advantage really distance-wise. He has a bigger advantage over the second-tier longer hitters. So I think it was ill-advised on Rory's part because he's one of the great drivers in the game. I admire him taking a chance, but I think it's a risk. And I've said this on the show. What Bryson has done was a tremendous risk as a top 10 player in the world. Will plays golf. Sometimes when you lose your swing, you lose your confidence. And when a great player loses his nerve or confidence, he becomes ordinary. In Bryson's case so far, he's pulled it off. But I would maybe be cautious with the other very long hitters changing their whole game just to get another 10 or 15 yards when they, in reality, they really don't need it, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm.
What did you think of 17, Bill?
Well, 17 is, I've caddied there, and when I caddied and the pin was in the back, we never wanted a yardage that would ever reach the second tier of the green. So I must say I might have caddied for Jay in 10 of those. He never hit one ball in the water over the green on that hole. He hit one in the water short one time when the pin was up front and the wind was blowing. But we never wanted to hit a shot that would land any further than the upslope. So we planned to make a 3 on that hole. And the green subtly runs away from you up there. It's very subtle. So you see a lot of balls hit, and they look like they're pretty good shots, and they keep trickling and trickling and trickling, and they go in the water. And I think to an extent it could be a mental error. But it's a very, very weird shot because the green is sitting out in the middle of this lake, and there's no depth perception behind it. The trees are 70, 80 yards behind the green. So it's like you're hitting this tabletop. And visually, it's a very, very odd look. It doesn't, even though you have a number, most guys are visual players, and it doesn't give you a good visual because there's no backdrop behind the green. And I'm always a little amazed at how many people go over, to be honest with you, because I think it's a, I think when the pin's back there, you have to just let your putter make a 3 for you from down below and get the hell out of there.
Yep.
What we see on that hole, that back pin, are a lot of good shots, really good shots, that are rolling at the hole like a putt, and the next thing you know, they're in the water and they're making 7. So very, very hard club selection when the pin's in the back on that hole. Yeah, very hard.
And especially with a little wind with you, which it was.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So it's gonna carry a little bit further than maybe you want.
You know, year that Jay finished second on Sunday, we had a storm come in, and he had to hit 6-iron in the 17th. Now, you want to talk about a hard shot when at about $250,000 a swing.
What was the number?
I did 6-iron.
What was the number?
I've never been more nervous as a caddy in my life.
What was the number?
The pin over on the right is 137.
137, 6-iron. Holy cow. Yep. Wow, that is...
He crushed the drive, while crushed for Jay, a good drive on 18, and had to hit 3-iron.
So, Bill...
And so, it was pretty hard, and he finished par, and ended up tying for second. So it was very, very lucrative 3-4 he made on those two holes.
I guess. So tell me, because on Thursday, when those guys are hitting those shots, and it was unbelievable how many balls were bouncing in the water, and it, the look of relief, Bill, and you said, I've never been as nervous as a caddy as I was on that hole. Is it as daunting as it appears on television? Because every guy who made it on the green, it looked like, whew, thank you. Just the ball stopped on the green. Is it as daunting as it looks, as short as that is? And you know, you think, oh, I can hit a wedge in there. I
think if there's little or no wind, it's not as daunting. But as soon as the wind picks up a little bit, and the green is real open, and it's not easy to judge the wind, because you can look over the 16th green, which is probably 100 yards away from you, and maybe the wind is right to left, but say you look at that flag. And then you look at the flag on the 17th hole, and it's right to left, but helping, you know. So one flag says it's not helping, the other flag says it is helping. And I think what it does, and Will plays, it puts doubt in your mind. You're never quite certain that you have the right club. And so you have to really commit to yourself that, hey, this is a club I'm hitting. So it's a hole that creates a lot of doubt. It creates negative stuff like probably the best thing that the best players do is they're always preparing to hit good shots rather than trying not to hit a bad shot. And I think that hole gets in their head and they try not to hit a bad shot. And they'll make a swing that reflects that indecision. But I think a lot of it, John, is the visual of the hole. There's nothing around it. It's just sitting like a tabletop out in the middle of this lake. And there's nothing inviting about it. There's no glove effect like it's going to receive a ball, you know. And so it is really the ultimate mind shot. You know, and we also wonder why it's so hard on 12 at Augusta and stuff like that. And part of the problem is you're really never, never, ever sure exactly what the wind is doing on a hole that you have to be. Even though it's a short shot, you must be pretty precise on it. So we've often said someday there's going to be a wind blowing in 30, 40 miles per hour downwind, and you might not ever be able to hit the green. The only way you keep it on the island is hit it in that little pod bunker. So, and I was looking at the weather report. The wind's supposed to be 10 to 20 today. So by the end of the day, if that green bakes out, it could be pretty sporty.
Mm-hmm. Well, have you played it? You played at IMG in Florida. Have you played it?
I played one tournament there. I went 78-81. Matthew Wolf played in that tournament, ended up winning, shot 69-64. So that's a testament to his game. But 35 balls in the water on day one at Sawgrass, 10 yesterday, and guys were rinsing it in the water all day on Thursday.
Well,
Kevin Na walked off after.
That was
Paul
hard.
Casey made a... Paul Casey made a 7 there, rebound really nicely. He's in contention, but it didn't take long. The over was 6.5 for highest score on 17, and that covered in I think three groups in.
6.5 was the high.
6.5.
Oh man, that was easy, Kevin.
Easy.
There was nothing to it. He had that job done. All right, we got a couple segments in. We got. A couple more to go, so don't you go anywhere. We'll talk about that leaderboard on the other side right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. That's brought to you by Insperity Inspiring Performance right here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
Hi, welcome back to Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Charlie always tells you about Insperity. What great, you, if you've got a small business and you're looking for help, they do it all at Insperity, inspiring business performance. So if you're looking for that help, if your small business needs it, this is, these people are awesome, awesome, awesome. We really appreciate it that they sponsor the show. So go to Insperity, Insperity.com, Insperity, inspiring business performance. Let's talk a little bit about this leaderboard, guys. Lee Westwood at the top. We've talked about him. Matthew Fitzpatrick has been playing great. You see him up at the top of leaderboards all the time. Sergio with the great first round, and then a 72 in the second round. But, man, look at the guys, the Charlie Hoffmans and Denny McCarthys and the Brian Harmons and Dylan Fratellis and Taylor Gooches. And you get down to finally get down to John Rahm to see a top 10 player. What does that tell you about this place, Bill? Is these different names are at the top of this leaderboard?
Well, like I said earlier, I think it tells you about the golf course. For one, you got to be a darn good player to be in this tournament. So all the players are very, very accomplished. But the golf course is strictly a placement course, from my experience there. Jay Haas played very well there over the years. He's a placement player. The people that have won there, we've had long hitters. We've had the medium hitters, the short hitters win. So it's a course that you can't really fake it on. If you play well, it's there for the taking. If you play kind of normal, then you better manage your misses. And as you alluded to earlier in the show about the good players that miss the cut, if you play poorly there, you almost have no chance. Because there's every hole, you're one bad swing away from making double or triple. And so it favors people who control their golf ball, who manage themselves and manage their games and know when to lay up and where to miss. And so I think it just favors people that are hitting the ball good that week. The greens are relatively small, so putting is always a plus, but I don't think you have to be a super putter at the Players. I think you just have to be a drive the ball straight and hit your irons in positions if you do miss the green where you have a chance to get it up and in. And that's why I'm not all that surprised when people miss the cut there, because it's not a bombed away course. Mm-hmm. You just don't get up on every hole and just blast away. Every hole has a side that you got to miss on if you do miss. And so, as you said, John, the leaderboard is sprinkled with all kinds of different players, which to me tells me that the course is fair for all the participants.
Will?
Yeah, well, you're exactly right, Bill. This TPC Sawgrass favors players who are in complete control of their misses. You look at Bryson, he's talking about, you know, the driver's okay, but he's missing it in the perfect locations. And having looks for his approaches. Sergio has hit the ball fantastic. He's first in ball striking and second in strokes gained tee to green this week. The ball striking looked great. The putting towards the end of the round yesterday looked very shaky, especially those two very short missed putts on 14, 16, and earlier in the round on 6. Bill, did you see Sergio close his eyes a couple times when he was putting yesterday, right before he pulled it back?
You know, I haven't been able to see one shot. I've been teaching from 8 to 5 every day. I literally have not seen one shot.
Well, yeah,
this week. I will watch the entire telecast today with great interest.
Oh, Sergio seeming...
Because I've stood on those tees as a caddy. I know exactly what they're looking at. Every pin placement, every wind condition, I get everything that's going through their head when I watch this thing, because I've been there and I've made some good decisions and I've made some very poor ones.
Like on 16 with Jay, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That cost us outright second that year. And but it's a kind of course also, John, in all fairness to it, that you it leads you into bad decisions because it's always tempting you to go for it. Like we just talked about, 17 guys are sitting there with a wedge in their hand. I can stop it on that tier up there, and if they hit it 1 yard too far, in conditions that they have no control of, they go in the water, and sometimes they hit another one in the water, make a 7 or 8
mm-hmm.
with a pretty good shot. And I'm sure walking off the green, they said, "Boy, I wish I'd have just put it down below and had a 30-footer."
Right.
But that's what it does. It lures you into gambling, risk-taking, and unless you hit a very, very precise shot, it might be end up being a very bad decision.
What did you see with his eye? What are you talking about with his eyes closed right before he putted?
Well, the putt that he made on 7, it was a birdie putt. He got over the ball and closed his eyes right before he took it back. And Brandel was noting that he's trying to free up his hands. He is obviously having some very serious issues with putts inside about 3 feet. But sets up to the ball and closes his eyes, and you know, I think it allows him to free up, much like Jordan Spieth would, you know, looked at the hole a couple years ago to free up his stroke. But Bill, I don't know if you have any experience with players closing their eyes or looking at the hole. What is that like?
Well, I think that, you know, Sergio has never been noted as a great putter, I would say. He's been noted as a great ball striker, which he truly is a great ball striker. And, you know, if you're not naturally a great putter, then you have to go to any length to be a better putter. And so I think the closing of the eyes, I think looking at the hole when you putt, is actually would be a great thing for most amateurs to do if they could practice that way. So I just think he's doing whatever he can. I've had the yips, Will, so I understand what nerves can do. I don't have many more. I've beaten them. And so I understand when you get over a putt and it doesn't feel good to you, you got to do whatever you can to try to minimize the demons that are, you know, coming at you from all different angles. So it's like a video game almost. You're getting attacked by all this negative thinking. So I'm sure it's a way that he's doing to combat his nerves, combat negative thinking, and whatever you can do in putting to do that, or even in your long game, then you have to do it. You have to figure out how to handle it. Because if you're any good, you're going to be under pressure. So you have to handle pressure.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you this, his long game, the way he's reaching par fives like nobody else, it's all, you would think that would be Bryson's forte, but Sergio is just fantastic. How he's eagling and he's getting up on greens in two, like nobody else. So he's playing well. It'll be interesting to see if he's able to get back to that first round form or if he's going to stay where he was.
John,
yesterday.
Have you played there?
I have not. I have not
played.
Played
there, John?
No, I have not.
And Will will tell you, I don't care if a guy's hitting a 5-iron into the 11th green. You have no idea how good a shot it is to get it on the green, more or less close to the hole.
Right.
Just getting the ball on the green is a heck of a shot. Getting the ball on the green on 9 is a beyond belief good shot. 16, the green is much bigger. The target's bigger. But if you hit the green on 9 or 11 there, you can't believe the quality of shot that it takes to actually put a ball on that surface from 220 yards. It has to be almost a perfect golf shot.
Especially on 9, where they had that. They had the pin up front on 9 yesterday.
Nah, no chance.
on that little bank, and Lee Westwood hit a great drive, had 288 in, smoked it to near the front, hit a nice little chip shot up there.
That wasn't an easy shot chip shot.
No, it was a little nippy, nippy spinner. Two unbelievable tests of par fives in golf.
Yeah, just great stuff. So we've got a great weekend ahead of us as well, and we've got a lot of great golf. Let me ask you this, both of you guys. It was a headline, Bill, start with you. Phil Mickelson falls out of the top 100 in the world golf ranking. Is that a story?
Well, I think it's a testament to how good he's been, because he's never been out of the top 100, I think, basically. And so what it does, it kind of sheds a light on how great a player this guy's been for, you know, 25, 30 years. And so it does surprise me a little bit that he's – what surprises me about Phil is that his entire career, which has been great, he's never been a great driver. And I remember talking to Butch about this one time, and he said if he could have just got it through his head to find a swing to get the ball in play, he might have won 20 or 30 more tournaments. And I'm surprised even as he's aged, you know, he's taken the DeChambeau route of trying to hit it as far as he can, but he just sows the ball all over the course. So it hasn't really helped him that. Now, him shooting one under these 2 days, you couldn't see that coming because this is a golf course that you wouldn't think lend itself to him. And he won at this course when he was working with Butch, which is unbelievable. So, you know, when you see something, he's gone so many years not being in the top 100, it kind of sheds a light on how great he's really been. That's how I look at it.
Mm-hmm. Will?
Phil's still going. Made his Champions Tour debut a couple months ago, and it is great to see him at the Players trying to get in contention. He looked pretty worn out in his presser yesterday after the round. I think some of the walks on tour are maybe starting to get to him, but you're exactly right. He has, I think, as far as gaining distance the right way, unlike Rory and Ricky, who are going through, you know, all the speed training and lengthening their swings. I think Phil has done it the correct way at his age, trying to gain a little distance and keeping up with the kids.
They're going low this morning. Lucas Glover and Cameron Smith, both 3 under through 5 and 6 holes. So maybe the conditions, well, it's early, so the wind will pick up as the day goes on. So we'll see if guys can go low today. It's moving day at the Players. We will finish it up and pick our winners when we come back here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, we talked about the conditions, maybe favoring early on anyway, some low scores today. Will brought an interesting statistic to the show during the break, Bill. He, 9 of the last 11 winners teed off early on Thursday and late on Friday. I don't know what that means, but that's a pretty big sample size. It's not like it was 4 out of 5 or something like that. It's 9 of the last 11. The exceptions were Tiger and who else?
Martin Keimer.
So a couple of guys teed off early on Thursday and late on Friday were Lee Westwood and Sergio Garcia, and they're near the top of – well, they're at the top of the leaderboard here. So interesting stat. I don't know what that means, whether or not benign conditions, course in perfect shape Thursday morning, right, so you can get off to a good start.
Yeah, early Thursday, pure conditions, no wind. And, Bill, I wanted to ask you about the late Friday – guys coming live late Friday. Is that because they feel comfortable rolling into the weekend? You know, they get a good rest Thursday night, a lot of time to warm up, do their thing on Friday. What would you make of it? It's 11 of the last 13 early.
Oh, 11 of the last 13.
Yeah, that's 11 of the last 13.
Not 9 of 11, 11 of 13.
That's more than a trend. Yeah. And I can't really answer it, Will, because I know a lot of players actually like going late early, you know, because they have a quick turnaround, and plus if they miss the cut they can get out of town. but I don't have an answer for that. That's a remarkable stat that I can't really tell you that I would know why that would be, because the weather conditions are probably different all 13 of those years, so we don't know what the weather was like. You know, sometimes at the Open Championship, you can really get the wrong end of the tee times. But that's a fascinating stat that I have no idea why that is, to be honest with you.
Well, if it goes from 12 to 14 after this year, maybe it's something the tour will look at.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, maybe benign conditions early on, and you jump out to a lead, and you just hold on Friday afternoon, whatever the case may be. But that's you're still going to play Saturday and Sunday, too, so
and you're playing late with the winds more than likely picking up on Saturday and Sunday. So it'll be interesting to see. All right, guys, we got a little over a minute left here. What do you think this weekend? Bill, Lee Westwood, hang on, or what you got?
I'm going to go with a real long shot here. I'm going with Chris Kirk. Great story. He's overcome alcoholism and suppression, and he's a shorter hitter, very precise player. He's gradually worked himself back up from a very difficult situation. I want to go with the grinder, Chris Kirk, here on the weekend.
That's a guy you can root for, right?
I can.
You understand.
I like him. Good guy.
Yeah, you understand that, what he went through, so that's great.
I do understand it, so I'm rooting for him.
That's it. Will?
So my two picks are Paul Casey, who's sitting at 14th at -4. He's got a final round scoring average of 69.5, so I'm looking for a big round from him today. And then hopefully cruising with the 68 or 69 on Sunday. The other one, I can't deny at T5, Bryson DeChambeau. He's first in strokes gained and approach, and he hasn't even hit his tee ball that well. Those are my picks.
Yeah, well, you can't pick two. He's picking one for Charlie, apparently. All right, but he's cheating.
I like it.
He comes in, he's trying to cheat. Can grab two guys, all right?
Well, at least he pronounced the names correctly.
Yeah, at least he did. At least that happened this week. I'm going to go with Sung Jae Im because I took him off my I took him off my fantasy team, and I put Webb Simpson in last minute, and sure enough, he'll win it because I did that. So I'm taking Sung Jae Im this week. We're done. Captain Ron, thanks as always. Will, thanks for sitting in for Charlie. And always, Bill, we appreciate it. Y'all have a great golf week, everybody.
Weekend.